This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Well, they shellacked the Knicks on Friday night. They come back against the Grizz, one of the better teams in the Western Conference. And it was ugly in the first half, but Ty Jerome came alive in the second half. Folks, your Cavaliers, now 47-10. They win it 129-123, audio courtesy of ESPN. Another nationally televised victory for your wine and gold, as now you've had not only two different national TV setups conversing about your Cavaliers and just how good of a team they could be. Anthony Lima and Daryl Ryder is in for Kenny, who's down in Orlando. Maybe we'll hear from Kenny at some point this week as he is down there with the kids, road tripping it. I hope he's getting a chance to catch on the Cavs, because is this the start yet? Or is it still too early for a stretch run? We're sitting here in late February, and the Cavs have a 7-game win streak after last night. 40-0, if they are winning going into the fourth quarter, there is not a bad number you can find associated with the Cavs this year.
They clinched at least a play-in tournament berth last night, so they're in, I guess you could say.
I think you can confidently say that you need to start making your plans, although this came up on Friday, right? I was alerted by the boss, Keith Britton, and I don't know how I feel about this, that afternoon show host Nick Wilson asked for vacation time, which would coincide with the NBA Finals. His cabin, he does a yearly cabin excursion with his bros, just some guys out there, and they, not glamping either, I think they're actually camping. Daryl, does that mean you don't have faith in the team if you're making vacation plans? Because I told my wife, I said, we kind of got to block out 3 months of playoff time now.
Yeah.
Which is not easy for everybody to do. I understand that.
You do. I know I'm not making vacation plans for NBA Finals time. I'm guessing I'll be double dipping between Browns minicamp and the finals like we did in years past. This team is for real. That's what we're learning, that this is not a mirage. This is not a situation where you've got, and we've seen this in the NBA, right, where you have compilers in the regular season. They're great regular season teams, but then the playoffs come and they fall apart. That's not this team. These are not your 2023 Cavaliers. Charmin soft. No, they're not anymore. They're not taking any grief from anybody. They are on a mission to not only dispel the notion that they are a soft team, but they want to show everybody that they can win an NBA championship.
I think that people are increasingly jumping on board. Now, there is this bugaboo of, hey, what about the Celtics? And they're going to get the Celtics coming up here because they have a chance. If they can beat Boston, I mean, we have another huge win streak, and I know It's not about peaking in February or early March. It's about peaking later in the season. But
I don't think that they've peaked at all. Not by any stretch of the imagination. They've just been that good.
Yeah.
And it started with them going 15-0 to start the season. I don't think they're peaking at all. And, you know, they add Javonte Green to the mix officially yesterday. It was a matter of time. We were waiting a couple days for that to become official. But I give Coby Altman some credit. They did not rest on their laurels at the trade deadline of being the best team in the NBA. Got DeAndre Hunter in. You bring in Green now. So one of the, I guess, remaining concerns about their length on the wing, I think that they've been answered. And now the focus is work on rotation, work on minutes for guys, and stay healthy so that when the postseason hits, you can just kind of roll through the Eastern Conference. Now, we were spoiled by LeBron. There were some of those NBA Finals runs that were, I don't want to use the term easy. They appeared easy because the Cavaliers swept so many of those series. That's not going to happen, I don't think, this year. But
well, especially looking at the matchups now.
Right.
I mean, who in the Eastern Conference? Are we down to basically a two-team conference? I don't want
to
totally...
I think it's a three-team race to the end, to the Larry O'Brien Trophy, quite honestly.
Really?
I think it's Boston, Cleveland, Oklahoma City. First one to get there wins.
That's like, interesting. I wrote a different team down.
Memphis?
No. That's not the team I wrote down. I wrote down a different team on my paper.
Please tell me it's not the Knicks.
It is not the Knicks.
Are you going to make me guess what team you wrote down?
You keep guessing. That's okay. We got time. We got till 10 o'clock before Basket of Phelps take over.
Can I get a hint? What conference?
It is a Western Conference team.
Denver.
It's a Western Conference team that just wiped the floors with the Denver Nuggets last week. It's now a team that's up to 6 best championship odds. It's a team that made a pretty substantial all-time NBA
Dallas?
Trade.
No.
That was a team that was a part of the trade, Daryl.
Not the Lakers. Get out of here.
Last time I saw LeBron James and the Lakers, I saw them crush the Denver Nuggets and Jokic 123-100. That was Luka's best game so far as a Laker. And let me tell you something right now. If you don't think there could be some hype building... for a collision course, if you will, for
I feel
the
like
wine
you're
gold,
to wheel us into existence right now.
Taking on the purple and gold, LeBron James against the team that he had carried for the two different portions of his career. Daryl, let me just tell you, my text messages came alive over the weekend, and it was like, hey, are you sure that the Lakers aren't championship contenders? Wouldn't it be nice for the Cavs to have a second championship, the city of Cleveland have a second championship with LeBron involved, but this time in the other locker room? I think it'd be quite the storyline, Daryl.
It would be scintillating. It would be juicy. I don't know that I can talk myself into it just yet.
If you're writing a sequel, that's how you write the sequel, right?
Oh, it would be unbelievable.
Well, I said yesterday that I am rooting for the Cavaliers to do a couple things. I want them to win 67 games just to break LeBron's and the Cavs.
You don't like LeBron having that record?
It's not about liking him have the record. I really now, and I'm getting greedy because I'll admit, totally putting the cart before the horse here. You got to win another before you can win two. I really want the Cavaliers to win two. I want this group to win two NBA championships. It's built the right way, similar to Golden State, drafting superstar players, trading for superstar players, going and getting guys at the deadline, using pieces and parts that you either drafted or traded for or signed to bring in more complementary pieces. Like, this has Golden State 2.0 written all over it with the way
so you're
this
talking
team
dynasty.
Is built.
You're talking dynasty. I mean, remember they've only won 6 playoff games under Coby Altman, and you're jumping to dynasty now. Are they that convincing? Because again, they annihilated the Knicks on national television.
They're beating everybody this year.
Yep,
they're not and in a lot of cases, not only are they beating everybody this year, they're pantsing a lot of teams. Like, I mean, they're just taking them to the woodshed on a regular basis. They've got 34 wins. Of 10 or more points. Like, it's rare for them when they win a game to not win by at least 10 points. Last night was rare. They didn't win by 10 points. They won, but, like, they are just taking teams to the woodshed with regularity. This isn't the 2023 Browns where they're winning all these one-score games and they're hitting half-court shots or getting layups or three-pointers at buzzers. Like, they are soundly beating their opposition.
It's absolutely incredible that they've been able to sustain it. Like, I expected, first of all, even Ty Jerome was on with us last week, and he's like, nobody saw the start of the season happening. Like, no. That was pretty crazy. But it's one thing to do that, and then I think everybody felt, all right, they'll regress to the mean. They never regressed. Like, they only had a bad stretch when Evan Mobley had the calf issues, and they had lost the two Atlanta games
Dean Wade and Isaac were out, too.
Yes, and then the two Houston games. But outside of that, they have truly been in command. Like, this has been a wire-to-wire. The fact that the Celtics are almost from, there's so many national Celtics guys, and they're conceding. Like, yeah, you know, we'll let the Cavs, as if the Cavs haven't earned it from top to bottom. Like, the Boston Celtics almost really can't even catch up to them if the Cavs stay healthy at this point. It's up to six. It's a six-game lead. And that is absolutely huge just for the route that they would end up taking in the Eastern Conference Finals. Although maybe even the route is not going to matter all that much if they're going to do that to the Knicks, what they just did.
Well, not only that, but Memphis came in, biggest team in the NBA. And I'm just looking at the two teams on the floor and I'm like, my goodness, these guys are pretty large. How are the Cavs going to match up? They out-rebounded Anthony by 20. 22 offensive rebounds alone.
And I loved watching Zach Edey try to defend Evan Mobley a couple of times. I almost felt bad for Edey.
And Evan is becoming, I'm hesitating to put the cart before, he's becoming undefendable at times. He's becoming that guy.
Yeah, the flashes are becoming more and more than just flashes now.
Right, which if the Cavaliers are going to compete for and win NBA championships, they absolutely have to have happen. And you're seeing that from Evan Mobley. Donovan Mitchell's been consistent. If we can keep Darius Garland's face away from elbows and arms and hands
and shoulders, knees, and
floors, that would be great. But you're getting the type of the way this team plays, Anthony. They play a championship style of basketball, and that's what's so exciting.
Well, and
this
then,
is not a fluke what they're doing.
No, it's not a fluke at all. And then, you know, Evan Mobley basically was part-time wing yesterday, part-time interior player, but 25, 13, 8, he had three blocks, so he won that Defensive Player of the Year matchup against Jaren Jackson, who it was very, very generous home cooking on the fourth Triple J foul.
Yeah.
And that sent him to the bench with 10 minutes left in the third quarter, and that paved the way. I mean, there was no chance for the Grizz after that.
Well, how about Ty Jerome? He gets the three fouls quickly there in the first quarter, like three fouls in 5 minutes. I mean, those are Tristan Thompson numbers, and then comes out the rest of the way, gets hot in the fourth quarter, 15 points, right? And you've got guys after the game, because we're all looking at this like, where did this come from? Even Kenny Atkinson, who worked with him in Golden State's like, admitted last night, I did not see this in Ty Jerome. And Donovan Mitchell comes out and says, well, you know what? That's just who he is now. Like, this, again, not a fluke, not a one type, because you're seeing more and more performances from guys like Jerome. Their depth, right? I mean, what are they going to do with a 10-man rotation? Who is going to be the odd man out come the postseason?
Well,
we thought that they solved the problem.
Yeah, I warned everybody about 4 weeks ago, and I said, hey, yeah, it's nice. People kept telling me this is the advantage the Cavs are going to have in the playoffs. They're going to play 11 guys. I said, guys, not in the close games. Well, my question is, when are the close games coming now in the playoffs? Because
there's going to be a lot of nail-biters in the playoffs.
Are you sure? Daryl, are you totally sure about that? Because right now, in the first round, they would play either the Bulls, the Hawks, or the Heat.
Here's why I say that, Anthony. I've covered enough of these playoff series to respect the process, all right? And again, we got spoiled by LeBron 2.0. Even though they were sweeping those series, like the Indiana series, those were tight games. Okay, maybe not so much the Atlanta Hawks, Toronto Raptors. Okay, maybe not so much the Toronto Raptors, but the Indiana Pacers. Those were tight games, Lima.
The LeBron made it look easy at times.
Yeah,
and I wondered about 4 weeks ago if that was going to be the case, and now I'm looking again, going, man, this thing is set up for them to have quite an easy run up until the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. 216-474-0092. Little dust up yesterday, audio courtesy of ESPN, nationally televised. The Cavaliers not backing down. Somebody like Desmond Bain, he likes to mix it up a little bit, and it was with Donovan Mitchell. They start rolling over. They both have possession of the ball. I always love that in basketball. There aren't a whole bunch of instances in basketball where a lot of that brute toughness comes out. I'm telling you, you can watch an AAU game. If two guys both have their hands on the ball, eventually, even if it's at the most innocent of times, somebody gets to hold on to the ball last.
Right.
And that's the winner of battles like that. And most of the time, guys don't really seem to care. Yesterday, that was a specific moment because Bane was defending him. And it was over there in the corner, and he was trying to show Donovan Mitchell, like, I'm hanging in there. And Donovan was going to show him, like, yeah, but I'm getting the basketball. And it both hung on for dear life with all their hands. And it created that last night. And I like to see it. I like to see some of this stuff because it's not like, you know, it's not like somebody's getting injured in that situation. And it's not like cooler heads can't eventually prevail. But this is just another moment, Daryl. And Daryl's in for Ken Carmen this morning, where the Cavaliers are showing they're not going to allow anybody to push them around. It's just not happening.
No, it's not. And, you know, Donovan got the timeout called. You know, Tristan Thompson also got teed up.
Yeah.
Ja Morant got teed up. Kenny Atkinson was not thrilled that Morant got in the mix of it. Said, you know, let's talk about after the game how I just prefer just be the two combatants, right? Guys are fighting for the ball. Let those two guys handle the business there. But you see this on a consistent basis where teams have tried to muscle the Cavaliers, push them around, because, again, there's this narrative that's still out there that this is a soft basketball team. They're not soft. They're not taking anyone's grief. They're going to beat you on the boards, and if they got to beat you for basketballs or any other extracurriculars. I mean, if you look at the replays, it looked like somebody was trying to twist Donovan Mitchell's leg there a little bit as well.
Bane was at the bottom at one point because Mitchell was finally able to get up. And I think Bane also doesn't want someone standing over him. So they're going to continue that. And I just loved it. I loved how they responded to it.
I mean, shocking. The Memphis Grizzlies mix it up with Donovan Mitchell. I mean, we haven't seen that
post Dylan Brooks. It did look like he had his hands around Mitchell's leg, which is just something that you know is going to drive other teammates and everybody in the building, especially because that's a home game for your Cavaliers. Now, Donovan, after the game, talked about that whole process, what it was like in trying to keep his cool.
I really don't remember what happened once I put my hands up. I kind of black out in those moments, but I think I knew for myself, it's just I can't, too valuable to get thrown out in that regard. But at the end of the day, the ball's on the floor. I'm not letting it go. He's not letting it go. So it is what it is. Nothing crazy.
You know, you didn't have Darius Garland yesterday. So, yeah, if Donovan gets thrown out of that game, you probably lose it. I mean, yeah, let's be honest.
And he stressed that I could not get thrown out. I'm too important.
But, Daryl, he still didn't back down. That was the key there.
Right.
It still wasn't one of those situations where he was going to let him off the hook. Here's Donovan on potentially getting some inspiration after that scuffle.
This was Max came out, set the tone, hit a shot, and we just went on a run after that. You know, and credit to them, they continue to push back and whatnot. But for us, that's just who we are. You know, continue to stay here regardless. It's competitive basketball. It's fun.
And I think, look, if the Cavs aren't going to play a lot of close games, you got to have something that resembles the playoffs.
Right.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if you think about the fans that have been going to these Cavs games all year, I keep asking, like, do you feel like you're getting your money's worth? Because The Cavs are destroying teams, is what you want. When you want to go see your team, you want to see them kick ass. But then they're emptying the bench and guys are only playing 25 minutes. You haven't had a lot of tit-for-tat moments where you've had these close games. And then when you have, credit to the Cavs, like it's been the Darius Garland show. He's been so damn clutch in so many of those moments.
Listen, I'm a big fan of everyone gets to play and score games, which is what we had Friday night against the Knicks, except if your name's Tristan Thompson. But he did have four rebounds. Take it easy on my guy Tristan, but, you know, they're just so much fun to watch. They really are. And they're so much fun to be around. The grief that they give each other in the locker room, you know, after games and things like that. They mess with each other during their media availability. You feel the chemistry.
They look like they have the best chemistry in the NBA.
They really do. They go to Cleveland Charge games. No disrespect. They do a great job at public hall. No disrespect to the Charge, but like NBA players don't go hang out at G League games. That's just the reality.
It's like when the varsity goes with the JV. Mm-hmm.
To watch the freshmen.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't see that. Or a player's holding a couple weeks ago, I think it was Max Strus, was holding a charity event downtown. And the whole team showed up, including...
That's awesome.
Including Donovan Mitchell. You don't have to do things like that. And they just genuinely enjoy being around each other, and they stick up for each other. You're not going to go out and try and punk Donovan Mitchell. You're not going to go out and try and punk Darius Garland. You know what I mean? Like, they are not afraid anymore to stand up for themselves, and they do it the right way. I think that's the other component to this, Anthony, is not only is the team built the right way, but they go about their business the right way. And that's why I think it's so easy for fans, aside from the fact that they already have 47 wins and they're the best team in the NBA, but the fact that it's the right way really, I think, helps fans embrace this team, and they should. It's rare what the Cavaliers have put together is rare. It really is.
And it's amazing how it's come together after they had it was contentious last year the way they went out. Here's, by the way, Kenny Atkinson, your head coach, because Kenny understands that, needs his guys, wants to make sure that there's no cheap shots, there's none of that stuff. Here's his take on some of the extracurricular going on last night.
I don't understand, you know, it was a 50-50 ball. I don't know how it got elevated. I did see Ja join the fray. I wish it would have just been left Don and, you know, Desmond there. You know, leave it at that. Like, when you start getting guys coming in and push, that was my observation. I did not love that we had extracurricular people come from the perimeter to get involved in that.
And you get it. He is thinking big picture. He's thinking worst case scenarios. That all of a sudden guys are coming off the bench, guys are getting in some kind of MMA fight.
But he didn't say, I don't want Donovan doing that. He was fine with the...
Yeah, the original two.
With the ruckus, he just doesn't want everybody getting involved, which is great.
Well, that's the first thing you look for, is you're looking for who's getting in the mix off the bench. Now, I think they'll be okay because a timeout had been called by Donovan in that situation. When the timeouts are called, you're okay to leave the bench. But I'm going to be curious to see what the NBA, after they do their upon further review. I wonder what the NBA is going to say.
All we have to do is call a timeout, and then you can bring in your tag team partners, and you're good.
As long as the referee sees it,
I've
watched wrestling my whole life. The referee just has to see a legal tag.
That's true. If I remember, you got to hold on to the rope, though, in the corner.
If I remember correctly, the Bad Boy Pistons perfected that.
Unless it's lumberjack match night.
Then it's a whole different ball game.
Anyone can get involved.
Chris in North Ridgeville, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, so watching the game yesterday, I think you kind of hit the nail right on the head there. I think the intensity that the Cavs are showing, I think this is something that they need to show, because I think there is kind of, a stigma about the Cavs about being soft. And I think going into the playoffs, especially when you get later on, hopefully, to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to call these games a little more loose. So that level of intensity, that's like the same thing with jumping on a loose ball, fighting for every possession, doing things like that. I think, I don't know, in the second half of the season, like, you love to see it. And I think that's the kind of stuff that's going to win you games later on, or those game sevens, because people are going to come for you. Even in the first round, people are going to be they're going to want to prove a point because you were number one in the East. So I love to see Donovan doing that, and I love Atkinson kind of supporting that. That's the kind of mindset they need if they're going to make a deep run this year.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan was diving into the stands up 30 points trying to save a basketball game Friday night.
Yes.
And his team, now granted,
that sets a tone.
Yeah, granted, his teammates were joking, that's fake hustle. Yeah.
That takes, you know what?
But still.
Some of that does happen. Yeah. It's just incredible that it feels like every time we watch this team, they answer more and more questions. I mean, and they're going to have a chance to do it again against the Boston Celtics coming up. So this part of this stretch of...
I don't know. Do I want to put too much into that game? I don't know if I want Kenny Atkinson showing a whole lot against the Celtics.
Well, I think in the end, you still when that game starts, you're going to want to beat that team. They're Boston. You want to put a scare into them. Because I felt like the last game, even though that the Cavs were able to get closer and cut it down to five in the fourth quarter, I feel like the Celtics and their fans left that game saying, there's distance between us. We're the better team. We kind of controlled that game. Now, that was before DeAndre Hunter. So, you know, DeAndre's still coming off the bench, so we'll see what kind of a role he has.
I think that's going to stay that way for a little bit. Kenny talked about that before the game. He was asked about when he thinks he might slide Hunter into the starting lineup. And he basically said that although it's subject to change, he feels pretty good about leaving Strus with that starting lineup. And as he put it, it's not about who starts, it's about who finishes.
Yeah, last night, 25 minutes, Strus got 31, I understand, because Garland didn't play. So Max kind of switched to a different role with the team yesterday, so kind of makes sense. But in a playoff series, I'm going to want to see DeAndre Hunter more than Max Strus.
I would
against
agree
Boston.
With you. Right, absolutely.
Because that's where you mitigate any matchup advantage.
But for him, from Kenny's perspective right now, he's like, I feel like because Hunter is still, and Donovan has talked about this, Hunter's still feeling his way through things right now, so why risk breaking something that isn't broken?
Does Lima like, or does Lima know like?
Chummy likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like. Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
What wasn't to like last night as the Cavaliers won again their 47th win of the year? They upped their mark to 40-0 when they have a lead going into the fourth quarter, and they got a unicorn performance.
I'm alive.
Evan Mobley, 25 points, 13 boards, 8 assists. But what I was watching last night was our first potential matchup of Defensive Player of the Year candidates with Jaren Jackson going up against Evan Mobley. Jackson actually right now better odds going into last night to win that award. When Wemby went down, we were wondering, does that open the door to Evan Mobley? And he had 3 blocks last night. Now he had one of Jackson. Jackson had one of him as well.
Yeah.
But there was no doubt once, you know, one of the guys goes out with foul trouble, and Evan Mobley got to, you know, hang in there and really play well. The only thing Evan didn't do last night well was shoot the 3. He was 1 of 8, but he did everything else well. That was an awesome performance from Evan Mobley, Daryl.
And you're seeing, even though he went 1 from 8 from 3, what you're seeing from him is the confidence to keep taking that shot, even if it's not going down. And not just for him.
Which is what Atkinson begs of him.
That's what he wants. And I think that's one of the few remaining things in his game that he's got to refine is the consistency from the perimeter. But opponents are going to have to start to respect that from him. But yeah, Mobley is next level this season.
Lima likes.
So you had no Darius last night, but you did have Ty Jerome. Basically had a Darius game in that he was scored 26, was 3 of 7 for 3, got to the free throw line a little bit, 9 of 16 from the floor. And Ty in the fourth quarter, 15 points. Just sensational. If he doesn't have that kind of a quarter, they'd probably lose.
Not only that, but for Kenny Atkinson, this has kind of come out of nowhere. I think for the Cavaliers, you know, some of the folks in that locker room kind of came out of nowhere. Donovan Mitchell was talking about, well, we saw a little bit of this in training camp from him, but that's training camp. It's in off season, one of, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's one thing to see that. There, it's another to see him do this on a more consistent basis on the floor.
Lima Light.
It's not only the team that is able to connect on the big shots. Daryl, you were there last night. Did we have another half-court celebration?
They're giving away $10,000 pretty much every game. I mean, this is the fifth or sixth half-court shot that I have seen made. So two contestants, both clanked one off the rim. Another one was online but grazed the net. And this kid was the last one, and it was funny looking at, I think Darius Garland was having some fun with him as he was watching the kid warm up for the shot. Goes, nothing but net, and the place went bananas again.
And it was another free large fries night.
I'm a light.
120 or more, this is like every game. McDonald's has given away the free. This is one of the best promotions in the history of the city.
Even better than the Chalupas when they would score 100 points?
I do miss the Chalupas. I do. And I haven't taken advantage of this. What do you have to do? Do you just show up and you get it, or is there a voucher?
I think it's in the app. It used to be with the tickets. I know they used to do chicken nuggets. I took all of my kids one night, and they made whatever the thing was for chicken nuggets, and somebody got like 80 chicken nuggets the next day for free.
Well, it seems like every game, 120, even when they don't shoot well. Like, they didn't shoot well from three last night. And yet, every single time out there, and they're averaging 122 a game.
Is this the best offensive team in Cavaliers history?
On paper, right now, regular season, yes. I would still, like, I'll say forever. And I think Danny Cunningham was on with us Friday. He agreed. The 2017 Cavs, yeah. The team that the only reason they didn't win the championship was because Kevin Durant was there. But that thing was humming, and in the playoffs and against any competition. Like, that was the best. That was not just the best off. That was the best Cavs team. But by the numbers, this Cavs team is shattering all the marks.
Yeah, I feel that Cavs team you mentioned is their version of the 95 Indians.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, greatest team to not win a championship.
Let's have some fun.
I'm
with
alike.
Some spring training baseball. The Guardians were back. Now, I was asking, like, how you were supposed to watch them, because they still haven't figured out how the Guardians are going to be on cable TV, because I'm one of the lone cable subscribers, the well over $200 a month. Like, me and the wife, we have to have a conversation.
You're a holdout,
about this.
Huh?
I am a holdout, but I don't get any other Guardians, but I guess I could have, because it was free. You just had to, you know, subscribe and sign up and everything.
I hope,
but you
can
get them for free for these five games. And that was yesterday. If you had a chance to watch them, you were loving life.
I hope that they do something to where, like, I don't have to go to my internet browser on my television to watch the games. Like, can we get a subscription ability through, I don't know, Prime or whoever? I really don't want to have to pull up the browser on my TV and type in.
Don't think we'll have an app by then, at least.
I feel like something will be figured out.
Well, I do FanDuel for the Cavs, and they have an app.
Yeah, I mean, that's my complaint. It's not the $99 subscription for the season that they're charging. It's the I don't want to have to be watching on my television through an internet browser.
If I can at least say, Alexa, play the Guardians, and then it just pops up, I'll be happy.
Oh, that would be nice. I feel like we'll be there.
Come on, and Major League Baseball.
And if you missed it yesterday, you had back-to-back jacks. Who doesn't love back-to-back jacks?
If you're going to have one jack, you might as well have back-to-back
jacks. Have a subsequent jack. You got to have one. And you had it yesterday. CJ Kafis had a 403-foot bomb.
Of course he did.
And Joe Lampe, 443 feet with an exit velocity of 105.4 miles per hour.
I love exit velocity.
No love for my guy, Stephen Kwan?
And Kwan. I did have Kwan bomb written in there.
Come on, Lima.
So break up your Guardians. They are on cruise control already. I mean, we're sitting here in February, and these guys are just straight up mashing. Daryl, they're mashing.
They're so good they can put Austin Hedges at DH in the Cactus League opener.
Well, and what you're going to absolutely love is when they play the New York Yankees.
Lima Lights.
And they beat the Yankees. You will not at Yankee Stadium here, New York, New York. Another tradition has fallen by the wayside. We go over to our Yankees part-time fan correspondent, Mitch Spinell. Mitch, The grooming, they've changed the rules about facial hair, and now New York, New York. Your franchise is in tatters. Everything you know and love about the Yankees coming to a quick close.
It is a bit of an identity crisis. I did find that it was funny that they're starting to play songs like That's Life at the end of losses compared to the one they played before. But
there's going to be a rotation now of songs.
Oh, is it a rotation? I thought it was just going to be the one song. I mean, that's all right.
Well, that's why we went to you. You're the Yankee half-fan correspondent.
Half fan. If I was a full fan, I would have known that.
That's right. Half-ass answers from a half-ass fan.
I'm not burning my stuff.
The plane
you're
of
gonna
New
York. Burn it.
Yeah, you got to burn it by opening day.
You better get your matches.
Sever your relationship with this once proud Yankees organization. The plane of New York, New York, after Yankee games dates back to 1980, with Frank Sinatra's 1979 recording at a Manhattan nightclub, and it was a cassette tape that they used way back then. But it just seems like everything is falling apart for the Bronx Bombers.
Whatever happened to tradition? Respect for tradition.
Speaking of tradition, it really is all coming to a close.
I'm a no like.
Daryl, sad news. Hooters in bankruptcy talks. Oh. They shuttered another 12 restaurants. Daryl, did you ever try the Hooters wings?
Yes. In Indianapolis at the Combine multiple times.
You couldn't get into St. Elmo, so you settled for Hooters. And how were they? How were the wings?
Both known for their sauces.
I'll just say the servers were better.
Used to watch UFC fights in both Syracuse, New York, and Parkersburg, West Virginia.
I'm old enough to remember when Hooters tried to start their own airline. Remember that?
It didn't work?
No, did not go well.
I used to live 20 minutes away from John Daly, and in between us was a Hooters, and you could go see him there all the time.
Not even signing autographs, just legitimately
just
there dining in.
Just having a drink.
Yeah, what are NFL coaches and executives going to do in Indianapolis this week if they close down the Hooters?
Oh, they'll at least leave it open through the weekend, right?
You have to.
It's the hottest spot.
Right.
Hooters Airlines, and yet you never heard of them getting any crazy crashes like you have over the last few days.
Can't do that right now.
Reckless speculation.
I'm just saying, I don't remember any... They're keeping.
They never just fired the director of Hooters Airlines.
Well, they at least kept the Hooters planes upright when they landed. That's it for Lima Likes.